Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So it's a very long purport. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. And rightfully so. Because this is the first verse of the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. That means Bhagavatam contained in 4 verses. So this is a very, very important verse. So ideally it would have been nice if we could have done justice, or we could do justice to the purport by speaking on this verse and the purport over a few days, like what we did with the very first verse of the Bhagavatam. But it's been structured such that we have to cover this in one session. So I don't know how that's going to be possible. Let's see how we go. So fasten your seatbelts. There's 5 pages of amazing purport. We should note very carefully that the personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Brahma and specifying with great emphasis himself, pointing out that it is he, the personality of Godhead, who existed before the creation. It is he only who maintains the creation, and it is he only who remains after the annihilation of the creation. Brahma is also a creation of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist puts forth the theory of oneness in the sense that Brahma, also being the same principle of I, because he is an emanation from the I, the absolute truth, is identical with the Lord, the principle of I, and that there is thus nothing more than the principle of I, as explained in this verse. Accepting the argument of the impersonalist, it is to be admitted that the Lord is the creator I and Brahma is the created I. Therefore, there is a difference between the two I's, namely the predominator and the predominated I. Therefore, there are still two I's, even accepting the argument of the impersonalist. But we must note carefully that these two I's are accepted in the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad, in the sense of quality. The Katha Upanishad says, Nitya Nityanam Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidhati Kaman. The Creator I and the Created I are both accepted in the Vedas as qualitatively one, because both of them are Nityas and Chetanas. But the singular I is the creator, and the created I's are of plural number because there are many I's like Brahma and those generated by Brahma. It is the simple truth. The father creates or begets a son, and the son also creates many other sons. And all of them may be one as human beings, but at the same time, from the father, the son and the grandsons are all different. The son cannot take the place of the father, nor can the grandsons. Simultaneously, the father, the son, and the grandson are one and different also. As human beings, they are one, but as relatives, they are different. Therefore, the relativities of the creator and the created, or the predominator and the predominated, have been differentiated in the Vedas by saying that the predominator I is the feeder of the predominated I's, and thus there is a vast difference between the two principles of I. In another feature of this verse, no one can deny the personalities of both the Lord and Brahma. Therefore, in the ultimate issue, both the predominator and the predominated are persons. This conclusion refutes the conclusion of the impersonalist that in the ultimate issue, everything is impersonal. This impersonal feature stressed by the less intelligent impersonal school is refuted by pointing out that the predominator I is the absolute truth, and that he is a person. The predominated I is Brahma, is also a person, but he is not the absolute. For realization of oneself in spiritual psychology, it may be convenient to assume oneself to be the same principle as the absolute truth. But there is always the difference of the predominated and the predominator, as clearly pointed out here in this verse, which is grossly misused by the impersonalists. Brahma is factually seeing face to face his predominator Lord, who existed in his transcendental eternal form even after the annihilation of the material creation. The form of the Lord, as seen by Brahma, existed before the creation of Brahma, and the material manifestation with all the ingredients and agents of material creation are also energetic expansions of the Lord. And after the exhibition of the Lord's energy comes to a close, what remains is the same personality of Godhead. Therefore, the form of the Lord exists in all circumstances of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. The Vedic hymns confirm this fact in the statement, Vasudevo Vahidam Agra Asin Na Brahma Na Cha Sankara Eko Narayan Asin Na Brahma Nesh Shana, etc. Before the creation, there was none except Vasudev. There was neither Brahma nor Shankara. Only Narayan was there and no one else. Neither Brahma nor Ishana. Sripad Sankaracharya also confirms in his commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita that Narayan, or the personality of Godhead, is transcendental to all creation, but that the whole creation is the product of avyakta. Therefore, the difference between the created and the creator is always there, although both the creator and the created are of the same quality. The other feature of the statement is that the supreme truth is Bhagavan, or the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead and his kingdom have already been explained. The kingdom of Godhead is not void as conceived by the impersonalists. The Vaikuntha planets are full of transcendental variegatedness, including the four-handed residents of those planets, with great opulence of wealth and prosperity, and there are even airplanes and other amenities required for high-grade personalities. Therefore, the personality of Godhead exists before the creation, and he exists with all transcendental variegatedness in the Vaikuntha lokas. The Vaikuntha lokas are accepted in the Bhagavad Gita as being of the Sanatan nature and not annihilated even after the annihilation of the manifested cosmos. Those transcendental planets are of a different nature altogether, and that nature is not subjected to the rules and regulations of material creation, maintenance, or annihilation. The existence of the personality of Godhead implies the existence of the Vaikuntha lokas, as the existence of a king implies the existence of a kingdom. In various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in other revealed scriptures, the existence of the personality of Godhead is mentioned. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.10, Maharaj Parikshit asks, Sachapi yatra purusho vishvastiti udbhavapyaha muktvatma mayamayeshaha sete sarva guya sahaya. How does the personality of Godhead, the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, who is always freed from the influence of the illusory energy and is the controller of the same, lie in everyone's heart? Similar also is a question of Viduras. Tatvanam bhagavam stesham kathidha pratishankramaha tatre mam ka upashiran kahu svid anushitrate Bhagavan 3737. Sridhar Swami explains this in his notes. During the annihilation of the creation, who serves the Lord lying on the shesha, etc. This means that the transcendental Lord, with all of his name, fame, quality and paraphernalia, exists eternally. The same confirmation is also in the Kashikanda of the Skanda Purana in connection with Dhruva Charita. It is said there, Na chaivanta api yad bhakta mahatyam pralaya yapadhi ato chuto kile loke sa eka sarvagovya yaha. Even the devotees of the personality of Godhead are not annihilated during the period of the entire annihilation of the material world, not to speak of the Lord himself. The Lord is ever existent in all three stages of material change. The impersonalist adduces no activity in the Supreme, but in this discussion between Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is said to have activities also, as he has his form and qualities. The activities of Brahma and other demigods during the maintenance of creation are to be understood as the activities of the Lord. The king or the head executive of a state may not be seen in the governmental offices, for he may be engaged in royal comforts. Yet it should be understood that everything is being done under his direction, and everything is at his command. The personality of Godhead is never formless. In the material world, he may not be visible in his personal form to the less intelligent class of men, and therefore he may sometimes be called formless, but actually he is always in his eternal form, in his Vaikuntha planets as well, as in other planets of the universe as different incarnations. The example of the sun is very appropriate in this connection. The sun in the night may not be visible to the eyes of men in the darkness, but the sun is visible wherever it has arisen. That the sun is not visible to the eyes of the inhabitants of a particular part of the earth does not mean that the sun has no form. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1.4.1, there is the hymn, Atma Vedham Agra Asit Purusha Vidaha. This mantra indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, even before the appearance of the Purusha incarnation. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.18, it is said that Lord Krishna is Purushottam because he is the Supreme Purusha, transcendental even to the Purusha Akshara and the Purusha Shara. The Akshara Purusha, or the Mahavishnu, throws his glance over Prakriti or material nature, but the Purushottam existed even before that. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad therefore confirms the statement of the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Person, Purushottam. In some of the Vedas, it is also said that in the beginning, only the impersonal Brahman existed. However, according to this verse, the impersonal Brahman, which is the glowing effulgence of the Lord, of the body of the Supreme Lord, may be called the immediate cause. But the cause of all causes, or the remote cause, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's impersonal feature is existent in the material world, because by material senses or material eyes, the Lord cannot be seen or perceived. One has to spiritualize the eyes before one can expect to see or perceive the Supreme Lord. But he is always engaged in his personal capacity and he is eternally visible to the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka, eye to eye. Therefore, he is materially impersonal, just as the executive head of the state may be impersonal in the government offices, although he is not impersonal in the government house. Similarly, the Lord is not impersonal in his abode, which is always nirasta kuhukam, as stated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, both the impersonal and the personal features of the Lord are acceptable, as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. This personality of Godhead is very emphatically explained in the Bhagavad Gita in connection with the verse Brahmano hi pratishtaham, pratishtaham, Bhagavad Gita 14:27. Therefore, in all ways, the confidential part of the spiritual knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, and not his impersonal Brahman feature. One should therefore have his ultimate aim of realization not in the impersonal feature, but in the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. The example of the sky within the pot and the sky outside the pot may be helpful to the student for his realization of the all-pervading quality of the cosmic consciousness of the Absolute Truth. But that does not mean that the individual part and parcel of the Lord becomes the supreme by a false claim. It means only that the conditioned soul is a victim of the illusionary energy in a last snare. To claim to be one with the cosmic consciousness of the Lord is the last trap set by the illusory energy, or Daivi Maya. Even in the impersonal existence of the Lord, as it is in the material creation, one should aspire for personal realization of the Lord. And that is the meaning of Paschadaham Yat Etaj Chayo Vashishyeta Sosmihaham. Brahmaji also accepted the same truth when he was instructing Narada. He said, Soham te bibhi tastata Bhagavan Vishva Bhava Vanaha. Bhagavatam 2.7.50. There is no other cause of all causes than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Therefore, this verse, Saham Eva, never indicates anything other than the Supreme Lord. And one should therefore follow the path of the Brahma Sampradaya or the path of Brahmaji to Narada, to Vyasadeva, and etc., and make it a point in life to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, or Lord Krishna. This very confidential instruction to the pure devotees of the Lord was also given to Arjuna and to Brahma in the beginning of the creation. The demigods like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are undoubtedly different forms of the Lord for execution of different functions. The different elemental ingredients of material creation, as well as the multifarious energies, also may be the same personality of Godhead, but the root of all of them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One should be attached to the root of everything rather than bewildered by the branches and the leaves. That is the instruction given in this verse. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So beautiful section of the Bhagavatam. So, as we've been reading and discussing, Lord Brahma had pleased the Lord. And the Lord had appeared in front of Brahma. And the Lord asked Brahma for a benediction. And what benediction did Brahma ask for? He says, Lord, I have some questions. If you can answer these questions for me, that would be my benediction. And Lord Brahma, he asks four very important questions. And the answers to these questions forms what is known as Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam captured in four verses. The entire Bhagavatam captured in four verses. So the first question Brahma asks is, please tell me about your material and spiritual forms. That is in text number 26. And then in text number 27 and 28, he asks his second two questions. Jai Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Jai. How are the various spiritual and material energies of the Lord working? Then he asks his third question. What are the Lord's activities in relation to his material and spiritual energies? And then he asks the fourth question. Please bestow your mercy for my execution of the instructions without pride and bondage. So Chaturshloki number one, which is the text we are discussing today, is the answer to Brahma's question. Please tell me about your material and spiritual forms. So, our acharyas have explained that this Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam in four shlokas, is broken up into four principles. The first principle, which is discussed in Chaturshloki number one, is the principle of Jnanam, the most secret knowledge of the Lord's form. The second principle of Chaturshloki is Vigyan, the realization of that form. The third principle is Sa Rahasyam, Prema Bhakti. And the fourth principle, Tad Angam, is Sadhana Bhakti. So in these four verses of Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, we have the most secret knowledge, the realization of the Lord's form, understanding of what is Prema Bhakti, and what is Sadhana Bhakti. So therefore, this is called nutshell verses. Everything is captured. Now, sometimes we may think to ourselves, Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And here, it is saying Bhagavatam is being described in four verses. How can we understand this? How can we realize that? Did you all have that same question? I had that question when I first said Bhagavatam in four verses as compared to Bhagavatam in 18,000 verses. So this was explained by Lord Chaitanya. So, Lord Chaitanya went to Varanasi. And when Lord Chaitanya went to Varanasi, he was in the garb of a sannyasi, but he was chanting and dancing. And Varanasi is full of Mayavadi sannyasis. So they were thinking to themselves, what is going on with this sannyasi? He's one of us, but he's acting completely different to what we would act. we should confront him and ask him. So there's a wonderful pastime that takes place, but essentially, the Lord is very humble. He captures them by his humility and his beauty, and they become submissive to the Lord. So they say to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You are a sannyasi. The duty of a sannyasi is to study Vedanta. But you are not studying Vedanta, you are simply singing and dancing like a sentimentalist." And Lord Chaitanya replies, "I know Vedanta. But the Vedanta you describe and talk about is not the Vedanta I recognize. So you tell me your understanding of Vedanta." So they give David an understanding and it completely misses the boat, as we know. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "I will give you my understanding of Vedanta." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "The purport of Vedanta Sutra is very difficult for an ordinary person to understand. But Vyasadeva, out of his causeless mercy, has personally explained the meaning. In the Vedanta Sutra, if the Vedanta Sutra is explained by Vyasadeva himself, who has written it, its original meaning can be understood by the people in general. Just like if you want to understand what the author has written, you can speculate and you can conceive of what the author means, but you could misunderstand. But if you go and ask the author himself, the author will tell you unambiguously, this is what I mean." So Vyasadev has explained Vedanta knowledge in the Vedanta Sutra. Sutra means compact, small. So he's taken the big Vedas and he's broken them and he compacted them into verses, sutras. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to say, "The meaning of the sound vibration Omkara is present in the Gayatri Mantra. The same is elaborately explained in the four shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam known as the Chatur Shloki. Whatever was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Lord Brahma in those four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam was also explained by Narada to Lord Brahma." So what he's saying then, that original four verses was explained by Lord Brahma to Narada. So it got expanded. And then the Lord says, "Whatever Lord Brahma told to Narad Muni was again explained by Narad Muni to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva later considered these instructions in his mind." So, Lord explained four verses to Brahma. Brahma explained it to Narada. Narada expanded it to Vyasadeva. And then Vyasadeva expanded it further. Srila Vyasadeva considered that whatever he had received from Narada Muni as an explanation of Omkar, he would elaborately explain in his book Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary to the Brahma Sutra. Vyasadeva collected whatever Vedic conclusions were in the four Vedas and 108 Upanishads and placed them in the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra. In the Vedanta Sutra, the purport of all Vedic knowledge is explained, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same purport had been explained in 18,000 verses. So the four verses have been explained ultimately by Vyasadeva. It's his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So that's how we get from four verses to 18,000. Okay. Now, what is the essence? So we said these verses are called nutshell verses. The entire philosophy condensed in four verses. How has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained these four verses? So that is very interesting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhagavatera sambandha abideya prayojana chatushlokete prakata tarakadiyacha lakshana. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now explains how these four verses are the essence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is our relationship with the Supreme Lord, our activities in that connection, and the goal of life is manifested in the four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam known as the Chatur Shloki. Everything is explained in those verses. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, if we are to understand the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam, we can understand them by the principle of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. What does Sambandha mean? Relationship. What does Abhideya mean? Process. And what does Prayojan mean? The goal. So in these four verses, we will discover our relationship with the Lord. In these four verses, we will understand the process. And in these four verses, we will understand the goal. Therefore, everything, the entire Bhagavatam, is contained in these four verses. The four verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is nicely been explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then goes on to speak about these verses. And then he personally quotes this verse. Actually, this verse is quoted three times in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the first Adi Leela, first chapter, verse 53. And then again in the Madhya Leela, chapter 24. And then again in the Madhya Leela. So it's very important. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained these verses for us. Now, in 5 minutes, we have to discuss the purport, which is not possible. But essentially, Srila Prabhupada is doing something really wonderful in the purport. This very, very important verse. It may seem that the meaning is very clear. What is the meaning? Very simple. The Lord existed before creation. He was the, where he says, he's the only one existing before creation. He's the only one existing during creation. And he's the only one existing after creation. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what does this mean? It means that Krishna is everything. Krishna is the beginning, Krishna is the middle, and Krishna is the end. Krishna is everything. And if we understand that Krishna is everything, we have understood everything. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. But there are some unscrupulous people that come and cover. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. That come and cover the meaning. Like Prabhupada, firstly in the purport, he says, Aham, I, is mentioned three times in this verse. And in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada says something very, very nice. He says, this is mentioned three times simply to chastise the Mayavadis. So Prabhupada says, Aham, if you go and look it up in the Vedic dictionary, the meaning is very clear. It's unambiguous. It means I. But I, which I? This is the I, Krishna, standing in front of Lord Brahma. I, the personality of Godhead. But what did the Mayavadis say? No. It's not the I, Krishna, standing in front of Krishna. This is the impersonal Brahman, I, that he's speaking about. Prabhupada told one nice story about the Mayavadis and the word jugglery and how they mix everything up. He said, once a lady wanted to cook chicken, murgi, So she told her husband, please go to the market and buy one chicken. Husband said, okay, I'll go to the market and buy one chicken. So he goes to the market looking for a chicken. So the first stall he comes across, the people are saying, please buy our chicken. They are the fattest chickens. He's thinking, oh, fattest chickens. Maybe fat is better than chicken. So I'll go look for some fat. So he went looking for some fat. So someone said, please buy our fat. Our fat's got the best oils. Oh, maybe oil is better than fat. I'll go looking for oil. So he went to the section where they sell oil. Then they said, please buy our oil. It is as clear as water. So he said, oh, clear as water. Maybe water is better than oil. So he went back home with some water. And can you imagine how his wife felt when she saw that? So Prabhupada says, those are the Mayavadis. They start off with, Krishna is black. Black means unknown. Unknown means unknowable. And they land up with impersonal Brahman. They completely mix everything up. It is so clear, the meaning. Absolutely clear. Hum, Krishna says. I, the personality of Godhead, standing in front of you. In a minute, I'll just discuss one other point. So it's very clear, and we can understand that Krishna existed before creation. There was only Krishna, and there was nothing else. We reading and study Bhagavatam. That's not very difficult to understand, isn't it? But Krishna says, after creation, it is only I that existed. But there's the worlds, there's the planets, there's universes. There's all of this. How can Krishna say, it's only I? And even the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Natvam evaham jatu nashtam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of the kings on this battlefield. But yet Krishna is saying, yeah, it is only I who existed after creation. Is there a contradiction? Is there a contradiction? Yes and no. Okay, Shama, tell me why. No.
Because all contradictions are resolved in the absolute. All contradictions are resolved in the absolute.
Yeah, you're putting it in a transcendental box, which we normally tend to do. But how do we explain it? Why is it not contradictory? We just discussed it earlier. Yes, Prabhu.
Because the others are simultaneously one and different to the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Because everything comes from the Lord, has to be part of the Lord. Like sometimes they ask, Haridas Varya Prabhu, are you Krishna? You may say, yes, I am Krishna. Then if we jump on him and say, no, you can't say you're Krishna, you are an atheist, an impersonalist, then we are making him something separate from Krishna. And nothing can be separate from Krishna. So, in that sense, everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. But Prabhupada qualifies it. Qualitatively, everything is from Krishna. Because everything emanates from Krishna. Everything emanates from Krishna. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he once said something very interesting. He said there are only two realities in this world. And that's going to be explained by the next verse. He said there are only two realities in this world. Does anyone know which are the two realities Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said? He said the only two realities in this world are the jivas and the holy name. Everything else, like Vedic science, reality means something that is permanent. Something that is not permanent is considered to be illusion. Like in this room we are sitting now. The only thing that is permanent is the Atma. With the passage of time, even 1,000 years from now, this temple may not be there. At the time of destruction, everything goes to the stages of material existence. So the only reality, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in this world, it's the Jiva and the Holy Name. And the Holy Name is none other than Krishna. And the Jiva is a part and parcel of Krishna. So this is very, very, the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport is so interesting. It establishes something so fundamental that we need to understand and know in our Krishna consciousness. That what means jnanam. To understand, Lord Brahma is saying, let me understand your spiritual and material natures. So this verses, they captures a great truth. And we should study it, and we should try to understand it. And I would request all the devotees to read the purport again and again, and to study it. Srila Prabhupada, being very, very protective of his readers, he is making the meaning of this verse absolutely clear from multiple angles. So we are meant to stop at 8:30. I'll stop here. I'll take any questions or any comments that anyone has. Yes, Prayojan Prabhu.
How should we understand then this verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 30? From one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. How do we understand that in relation to what you've been telling us about the Chaturshloki?
Okay. Essentially what I was saying, that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. So once Srila Prabhupada was walking through a park, and one of his disciples was walking with him. So the disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what does a pure devotee see when he walks through the park? Then Prabhupada says, he sees Krishna everywhere. Then the devotee says, so Prabhupada, how does he see Krishna everywhere? Does he see a small Krishna in the leaf of the tree? Does he see a small Krishna in the trunk of the tree? Does he see a small Krishna in the blade of grass? And Prabhupada laughed. He said, oh, no. It's not like that. It's not like that. Then Prabhupada pointed to his shoes. He said, what is this? He said, Swamiji, that is your shoe. Then Prabhupada pointed to his cane. What is this? Swamiji, that is your cane. What is this? Swamiji, this is your eyeglasses. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's how he sees it. So what did Prabhupada mean? And Prabhupada gives another example. He says, sometimes the child goes to school. And in the house is the tiny shoes of the child, the child's clothes. So everywhere the mother is going, she's saying, oh, that's my baby. She's remembering the child. She goes, oh, that's my baby's shirt. Oh, that's my baby's plate. And the whole day she's thinking. So in the same way, the devotee sees Krishna's energy everywhere. Manifestation. And that's the explanation of the verse Prabhupada said. So the same way that this verse is saying that, like in terms of creation, the Lord is the only one present. But he's present also in the form of his energy. Because his energy is Krishna. As Prabhupada says, you can't separate the sunshine from the sun. You can't separate the sunshine from the sun. You can't speak of the sunshine without the sun, or the sun without the sunshine. The same way you can't speak of Krishna without his energies. His energy. Does that answer your question, Prabhu? Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanande Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.